Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rich Lenkoff, thank you guys. Stay well, stay healthy, stay sane. Rich Lenkoff is an attorney you frequently hear on WGN from Bryce Downey and Lenkoff. Hi, Rich. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Let's sprint through some topics. You ready?
Absolutely.
That lady that put Gorilla Glue in her hair because she thought it would be a good hair product and then was suing the company because it messed up her head and her hair. Does she have any kind of legal ground to stand on?
Don't think so. Inevitably, you're right. We will see a lawsuit. She's talked about it, has not filed yet. But, you know, Judd, if I was defending this kind of case, which I do frequently, believe it or not, these kind of cases, not exactly Gorilla Glue, but my legal argument to the jury would be, you know, based on some really old precedent and very complicated legal concepts, I would basically stand up to the jury and say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it's glue. and then I would sit down and rest my case.
But then what does that say, though, when, like, you get packaging and it says this is not a toy? I mean, it makes it sound like they're worried that you will have a case. The plastic bag or the styrofoam particles aren't food. Of course they're not. People know that. Why do they feel obliged then to put those warnings in there?
Well, because of lawsuits. And then the warning label is important. I mean, all joking aside, you touched on the most important issue, which is whether this was contemplated by the manufacturer, whether it was on the warning label. And in this particular case, Gorilla Glue warns against using it on the skin, but it does, or on the clothing and in your eyes, but it doesn't specifically reference hair, which speaks to the idea that the manufacturer had no pre-existing notice or knowledge that anyone would use this on their hair. If it did, on the other hand, say that you shouldn't use it on your hair, then at least you could establish as a plaintiff's attorney that they had some notice of this, and that would go a long way towards maybe getting the case heard. But as it stands now, the case probably wouldn't get past an initial pleading stage.
That's interesting. You think they're more vulnerable if they do warn you about using it on your hair?
Just because you warn someone doesn't preclude you from being sued, and certainly doesn't preclude a jury from finding you liable.
Well,
I mean, that's what people think. But even if you sign away a waiver, even if Gorilla Glue said, we warn you against using it on your hair, and we require you, John, to sign a waiver before using it. Believe it or not, that waiver in most jurisdictions wouldn't create an airtight defense because of the way the law is set up.
What do you think of those little yellow cones that people have in front of their buildings right now, say, beware of falling ice? Like, I'm going to look up, see the ice, and step out of the way. You know, does that help or hurt the case for the building owner? Do I have a case if I get conked by some ice falling off a building?
Well, it certainly helps. I mean, there's always the theory that that defendants put forth, which is comparative fault, right? Most jurisdictions recognize that you don't just get the right to walk around this earth without any, you know, responsibility for yourself, and especially if you have warning of a dangerous condition or a falling ice, then you have a greater responsibility to avoid that. Does it preclude a finding of liability completely for the building? No. If I was the building owner, I would obviously argue that this is an act of God.
Yeah.
This is a natural accumulation, and we don't owe any liability. So if you slip and fall going into, you know, your local grocery store, and the grocery store says, well, that's a natural accumulation, that's not something we can control, that's an absolute defense generally to that kind of lawsuit.
Well, let's talk about that. That makes more sense to me. I don't care if it's a natural accumulation or not. Shouldn't they shovel it? And if they don't and I slip, shouldn't they put salt down? And if they don't and I slip, shouldn't they be held liable for that?
It's a slippery slope, John. you see what I did there? So the answer is the retailer does owe you a duty, okay? But they owe you a reasonable duty. They don't owe you a duty to prevent and guarantee against any kind of danger, right? They're in the business of selling groceries, not in the business of making a perfect store. So if you could prove that they did salt and ice, they did put down some salt, but they did so negligently, then you might prevail. But they don't have a duty to prevent you from slipping and falling on ice because, again, that would mean they're in the business of, you know, only doing that. And the law has held that it's not reasonable to put a retailer in that kind of position to impose that kind of duty.
Well,
so,
wow, that's funny to me, because then I think then don't be a retailer. I mean, I'm not mad at stores generally, but it seems to me like you can't be a retailer if I can't get in your store. You're inviting me to come into your store. How do I get there? I got to walk down your sidewalk. Oh, you didn't ice it or shovel it properly, and you've invited me to come in, and I slip and fall. It would seem to be like the onus would be on you.
And again, you have a duty to create a safe shopping environment, but you don't have a duty as a retailer to present a perfect situation. And especially when there's snow and ice, the way we have it in Chicago right now, again, there's an exception to duty called natural accumulation. And if it's natural, if it's an act of God, if the retailer didn't increase your danger, then they're generally off the hook.
And like the glue, is it ironic then that if I do make the effort, that I'm more vulnerable? You said a moment ago, if you shovel it or put some salt down, but people still slip and they think you didn't do a good enough job, then are you more vulnerable to a lawsuit than if you did nothing at all?
Absolutely. And that's the irony, right? It almost encourages stores to do nothing, right? Because once they do something, then they assume a duty that otherwise did not exist. And then they have to do so, you know, reasonably. They don't have to do it perfectly, but if they endeavor to take on that duty to shovel or to salt or to plow a parking lot, and if they do so negligently, that's a different story. Then you have a cause of action against them.
Wow. Makes you want to not shovel. Two other stories in the news. Let's see if we can get through at least one of them. Free Britney is trending. We visited with one of the executive editors of that New York Times series on Hulu. Why is it trending now? What's the legal conversation about?
Well, last week, the judge presiding over this seemingly endless discussion over whether Britney should take back control over her affairs or whether her father should continue as conservator, a judge ruled that not that the father is out, that's what Britney wants, but at least that he has to share control over the estate with a bank that Britney chose. But this is continuing, right? The allegation that I watched the New York Times documentary over the weekend, it's pretty compelling. The allegation is that the father is in it for himself, that he's taking out a pretty significant amount of money for himself, and that he only came into this very late in his relationship with Britney. He wasn't really there a lot for her younger years, and now is trying to, you know, control her for financial gain. So that is being battled. It has been battled for years in court. It would seem to be simple that Britney is a, you know, seemingly functional business person making millions of dollars in various productions.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't she take, you know, control of herself? But, you know, there's more to it. We don't know the records. There's been a couple of high profile, you know, incidents that show that she hasn't been in control. But, you know, there's millions and millions of fans thinking otherwise. So.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. And I think, OK, maybe we don't know what Britney's ability is mentally to handle her affairs, but why her father? Why not a third party?
Right.
Why not Rich Lenkoff? Get Rich Lenkoff to do it. You got no skin in the game. Pay you the tiniest fee or nothing, and you make the decisions. Her dad is clearly a pariah.
Anytime there's this kind of money involved, John, unfortunately people's motives have to be questioned, and for good cause. Again, in this case, if you look into it and watch the documentary, you will see that, at least on the surface, the father's intentions don't seem to be completely for his daughter. There seem to be secondary gain issues. So it's pretty unfortunate, but hopefully the court will do the right thing.
60 seconds left. What do you want to say about Bruce Springsteen's DUI?
Oh, it's a frame-up. I mean, I'm a huge Springsteen guy. I have been forever. Seen him in concert about 110 times, but who's counting? But it's ridiculous. I mean, he was pulled over. He blew a .02, which is well below the legal limit. He's 71 years old, so the field sobriety test is not very reliable. So I'm going to change the Free Britney into the Free Springsteen movement. Are you with me, John? You got to be with me.
No, but the point of .02, really, but it's not the amount of alcohol you have, it's are you impaired or not, right? You can be impaired at .07 too, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make light of course, you know, the serious offense of drinking and driving, and of course you could be impaired even if you blow out the 0.2. By some accounts, he was, you know, showing signs of impairedness, and he was on his motorcycle. So, you know, listen, if he did that, then he should be charged, but 0.02. Many of his fans are saying that that's way, you know, way too low to even arrest him.
I hadn't heard it was that number. I'm glad you brought that up. Rich Lenkoff is a partner at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff. You got another pod you're dropping anytime soon, sir?
Yeah, tomorrow, absolutely. Covering this, all these stories, plus a great impeachment panel. So check us out on WGN tomorrow.
What's the title of your podcast, sir?
It is Legal Face-Off on WGN.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, John.